As of today, more than 2,500 petitions for release under Prop 36 have been filed, and only 13 have been denied, as reported by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Nearly 500 inmates serving 25 years to life sentences have been freed so far. KALW's Nancy Mullane spent time with one man as he went through the process, hoping to gain his freedom from a life behind bars.
My strikes were back in 1991 for two counts of attempted second-degree robbery.
2 weeks after the November election, I sit with Curtis Penn inside San Quentin State Prison. Middle-aged, with broad shoulders and close-cropped black-to-graying hair, he describes the night in 1991 when he committed his first two strikes.
It was at a gas station. Keys was in a vehicle, and I seen this individual having issues pumping gas. And I took the keys, got in the vehicle, attempted to drive it off. The person approached me, and like, what are you doing? And I said, okay, I'm just messing with you. By that time, I got out the vehicle, and I ran. I walked away, actually. As I began to walk away, a couple other cars came about. So I ran on foot. As I was running on foot, I seen someone backing out of a driveway, and I asked him, could I borrow the vehicle, because my family just been in an auto accident. I need to take him to the hospital. They said, well, because I'm trying to get away from that original scene. And they said, well, no, but you can, we'll call 911. So they left the vehicle, we left the car running, and I got in the vehicle and drove off.
A few days after driving off with the stolen vehicle, Penn was arrested trying to cross the Mexican border. At the age of 30, he pled guilty to two counts of second-degree robbery and was sentenced to 3 years, 8 months in California State Prison. After serving a little less than half of his sentence at Vacaville, working inside the prison's firehouse, Penn was released with good time credit.
Didn't start going to school right away. I ended up getting a job for driving a truck for Sutter Health, mm-hmm. laundry. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to school during the evening times and stuff like that.
But 5 years later, in 1996, after enrolling at Sacramento State University, Penn was in trouble again, this time with fraudulent transactions.
I would go into stores, come in as if I'm a homeowner, and I renting homes, and I would take something off of a shelf, an expensive item, maybe a $180 item, walk up to the customer service, tell them that it's mine when in fact it's not, go get another item. This costs a little bit more, and tell them I need to purchase this one, and they would deduct that money off that one and give me a legitimate receipt. So I would pay like maybe $100 for an item that cost $250.
I see.
And then, you know, the day later, or go across town and then return it and get money. And that's what I was doing for a good portion of my time while I was out to supplement my income.
At the time, Penn says he didn't know anything about the three strikes law or the possibility he could be sentenced to 25 years to life for a nonviolent, non-serious crime.
To me, the gain was worth the risk. The money that I received was worth the risk of doing 2-3 months in a county jail. Because I got arrested before in the past, and they gave me 30 days community service. So I was getting all this money, and I wasn't really getting punished.
But things had changed. It was 1996, 2 years after the state legislature and California voters had passed the Three Strikes Law. It imposed a 25-year-to-life sentence for any third felony conviction, no matter how minor, if the defendant already had two prior serious felony convictions. Threatened with 6 counts of commercial burglary and 25 years to life for each count, Penn went to trial. He was found guilty. The judge sentenced him to
29 years to life. He'll be getting out at 63.
Flash forward 15 years to November 2012. I'm sitting with Penn inside San Quentin State Prison. Over the past 19 years, more than 10,000 people have been sentenced to 25 years to life under the state's Three Strikes Law, and nearly half of them are African American, including Penn. Now, with the passage of Proposition 36, he and many others hope to get out of prison, and Penn hasn't wasted any time. He's compiled a file and is ready to begin his petition for resentencing.
It's pretty much together, Marit. I have a couple more letters of recognition to receive from some of my sponsors, and I know nothing's not going to happen till next year anyway, right? So when I do submit it, I want it to be to the point to where they won't be able to deny me.
But first, someone in the state had to identify the estimated 3,000 prisoners the state thought might qualify for resentencing.
Oh, I got a lot of work to do. That was my first thought. I said, oh, we better get busy.
Kathleen Allison is the Deputy Director of Adult Institutions for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation.
We scrambled fast, getting all of our documents together, meeting with the institutions, preparing the list, not only statewide, but broken down by institution to prepare the institutions for this.
CDC was quite helpful.
Amanda Benson is the Assistant Public Defender for Sacramento County.
So that was the next thing, is once we got this list and started to identify all these people, we had a mass mailing of this packet and information to all of those people that were, you know, obviously in CDC serving those 25 to life sentences. So then we waited for the packets to come back.
One of those was Curtis Penn.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
In mid-December, a month after the election, he calls me collect from a payphone inside San Quentin. I accept the call. It's the only way I can follow his petition for resentencing through the Sacramento Superior Court.
The Public Defender's Office, Sacramento County Public Defender's Office, mailed out a screening questionnaire to me that I received shortly after. It was like a 11-page questionnaire asking questions about my sentencing, about what I was sentencing for, what my prior convictions are, what would I do once I'm released, do I have a transitional housing. They ask questions about even my children, want to know my children's age, name, and where they live, if I'm in contact with a family member, and what is their name and address. And so they asked a pretty extensive question, some of which I thought was a little over the top, but I filled it out, I mailed it out, I think it was the first Thursday of December, something like that.
So those started coming in very quickly, and we had to, you know, get the packet, create a file, obtain further information about their record. He's eligible. Let's get this process started.
Amanda Benson and public defenders around the state were reviewing case files and petitions. For each petition, the court had to file a subpoena with the CDCR for a complete copy of the inmate's C file or central file. As of today, the CDCR has sent more than 2,200 case documents to the courts. The CDCR's Kathleen Allison says the paperwork is overwhelming.
If I were to show you central files, they would range from a couple of inches to a couple feet.
Thick. Technically, the CDCR has 5 days to respond to a subpoena, but Allison says it's taking 20.
I certainly don't think we realize the magnitude and the poor institutions. I mean, I know how hard we are working up here. I can't imagine, as I used to be an old litigation coordinator years back, I couldn't imagine this volume.
On January 1st, a little less than 2 months since the election, Penn calls me collect again from inside San Quentin. His future is riding on the processing of his paperwork from one legal checkpoint to the next.
So I realize it's a process because, unfortunately, they sentenced so many people, particularly African-American people, to life sentences, nonviolent, non-serious crimes, who had no violent background. And now it's taking a toll on cleaning it up. And I'm patiently waiting. I'm not getting frustrated.
Public Defender Amanda Benson says after all the documentation on Penn's case has been collected, a copy is sent to the district attorney's office. At that point, Sacramento Assistant District Attorney Karen Maxwell makes a recommendation to the court whether or not to oppose the petition for resentencing.
There's a percentage where we just say this person is not eligible because of their serious danger to public safety. So technically, charge-wise, they're eligible, but they pose unreasonable risk to public safety. So we just file an objection. My role as a deputy DA is to achieve justice. That's the bottom line. And is it just to have someone in custody, locked up, doing a sentence today on a case where we might have just sought local county jail time now, today? Is that just? That's the question.
Later that month, Curtis Penn calls me again.
I'm waiting for the legal mail, you know, waiting for my name to be called. Or, you know, because according to the letter that I received from Amanda Benson, the assistant public defender, she said, if the district attorney doesn't oppose it, I will not be going back to the court. So, you know, they can call you one morning and tell you to report to an R&R. You just don't know. You're just on a bubble. So I sent most of my property home, my books and everything that I wanted to send home, I sent home Friday, last Friday, my photo album, my letters.
Even though the DA has not opposed his resentencing petition, things slow down. With about 150 Prop 36 petitions for resentencing moving through the Sacramento Superior Court, the judge has to read each case before making a final decision. And even then, the judge can still find the inmate a threat to public safety. It's mid-March, 5 months after the election, when Penn calls. His voice is tight. He says inmates are keeping track of how many three strikers from San Quentin have gone home. Some have left without warning. Others, he says, have been given a day or two to say goodbye. But no one has left from Sacramento County.
I'm a little concerned on the time that is taken between each interval. It seems like it's taken anywhere from 30 to 60 days between each interval in terms of when one thing is done. Get you closer on, they seem to delay the process. I've been asking around to other guys who are in a similar situation as I am, who are also from Sacramento County, and they are frustrated as well. We just haven't heard anything. It seems like everyone from other counties seems to be getting called and released.
On the morning of April 4th, I miss a call on my cell phone.
Hello, Nancy. This is Curtis. Just calling to let you know that I just got out about, 10 minutes ago. And I'm at the San Rafael Transit. Right now, I'm just trying to get myself a duffel bag so I can transport some of the stuff I have that I brought out with me in the duffel bag so I can get on the Marin Airport and go to the airport. I'll call you once I get home. I'll be visiting my family in Carlsbad, California for a couple of weeks, and then I'll be flying back. So take care, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I drive to San Rafael Transit, and there, standing at the curb, is Curtis Penn. Still wearing his gray prison sweatshirt and blue jeans, he's holding a large plastic box, a white envelope with his final discharge papers, and $200 in cash the CDCR gave him as gate money.
This morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was in my cell, and the officer walked by and just said, Penn. I go, yep. She goes, you're paroling.
Just like that?
Just like that.
You had no warning?
No warning, no letter, no nothing.
It took 5 months from the time Curtis Penn petitioned to be released from prison. Not on parole, but fully discharged. He took a flight to Southern California, where he spent a couple of weeks visiting his father and three sons. He now lives in transitional housing in Oakland while he adjusts to life on the outside.
I thought it'd be like someone that was caged up and then released into the freedom world. And then you know how a caged animal wants to run and just be free. But I have a sense of calm about me.
Since Proposition 36 was passed by the voters in November, nearly 500 inmates sentenced to 25 years to life under the Three Strikes Law have been resentenced and released from California prisons. Another 2,000 have filed their paperwork and await a decision. For Cross Currents, I'm Nancy Mullane.